She's a KGB agent.
He's telling the truth. She's a communist agent, come to kill you.
Merlin, attack!
It's Magnum Podcast. I'm Jason Snell. I'm joined always, as always, by Philip Michaels and David J. Lohr. Hi, guys.
I believe that's the attack cry of the Peregrine Falcon.
I think so. I think it sounds...
That is...
Or the Atlanta Falcon, which then says I've blown a 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl. I don't know. Either one.
Who knew we would do a podcast about Magnum PI and the internet would suddenly be talking about Magnum PI, but we're here at last to talk about an episode we weren't even planning on covering, at least not yet. Season 3, episode 16, Birdman of Budapest. Yes, in which there is a macaw that attacks Magnum, and then there are some feathers, and TC says, whoops. But that's oops. Later in this
spoiler
episode.
Spoiler alert.
This is an episode that begins very seriously.
Twitter is our spoiler horn.
In black and white, in the Hungarian Revolution.
It's such a serious opening and rooted in history, and it's like, what happened?
I feel like the only reason they did this episode is because Belisario said, I can do a thing about the 1956 Hungarian Revolution. Sign me up. Get me that black and white Rick Steves footage of Budapest, and we'll make it look like modern day stuff.
I did a little research. This was written by Louis Vipperman, or Louis Vipperman, whose only other credits are one other episode of Magnum, the last episode of the first season of Airwolf, which is filled with Magnum regular guest stars, and one episode of The Smurfs. So I kind of wonder if this is a pen name.
A pen name, yeah.
Because it's weird. There's no trace of this person anywhere else. And the more I started researching, the more I thought about Lee Cronin and Gene Kuhn, and it was like, is this the Spock's brain of Magnum PI?
Now, what you're saying, David, is that perhaps Louis Vipperman has gone to live on government land in a private bird sanctuary. That's what you're saying, right?
He's very well might
from the KGB.
I just want to know if the Smurfs episode features one of the Smurfs handing Gargamel a bag and it has a grenade in it, because that would be the tell.
That's what happens here. Is this this character who is the doctor who we'll see later? He's like, I'll give you the information, and then he drives off, and they look in the little valise, and it's a grenade, and they blow up, and that's all we see.
I mean, I don't want to criticize the Soviet officer's approach here. Because who knows how we would react if we were handed a grenade. But just dropping the grenade straight down as if, oh, my heavens, seems to be bad grenade management. I think you want to thrust outward when you are throwing the grenade away to get it away from you.
Yeah.
Or, you know, fling like a discus.
Yes.
You could totally do that.
But not just drop it like, oh, my, hot potato.
And then stand there.
Yeah. Not so good.
meanwhile, back at Robin's nest,
28 years later,
Higgins visits Magnum, and Magnum has cleaned up his room to the point where Higgins says it does not contain the usual unpleasantness, which I enjoyed. But they have a job to do, which is that Robin's beloved schoolmarm is coming. And that's Mrs. Barrett. By the way, in this scene, Magnum reveals that he is essentially a teenager as he has shoved all of the garbage in his room into a closet and then barricaded the door, but then he can't find his keys. Finally, he does find his keys in the refrigerator on the eggs, and in picking them up, smashes an egg, which he leaves there, and then just leaves the house.
Again, I am going to critique someone else's abilities here. Many times I've handled eggs in a refrigerator, Magnum must have like just meat hooks for hands, because you really have to try to smash an egg in that fashion.
Yes, that was well directed. shall we say.
Okay, let's go to the airport. Let's go to the very...
The Honolulu airport, not a good place to be shot, and not a good place to leave your parrot in a tow zone, no, as it turns out.
So this is our second animal quarantine in Hawaii scene that we've dealt with in this podcast. It's exciting, mm-hmm. as people
and,
might remember.
And I gotta say, I appreciate this. You know, everyone says TV is all alike. What other shows have had such a focus on animal quarantine regulations?
It's true.
Right?
I think if you're making a show in Hawaii, you are very familiar with what animals you can bring into the state, yeah. and whatnot, unless you have a rodeo in your state.
I was just going to say, unless you're Elmo Zilla.
In which case, horses can just enter freely.
It's fine. They're on a barge. They bring them over. Yes. It's okay.
They put an overcoat over the horse and make it walk on its hind legs.
Well, this is the restful Honolulu airport. There's not a lot of traffic, although Higgins does park in the tow-away zone. There's a voiceover saying he's going to get towed, but he walks in anyway to find Mrs. Barrett. She's there. She's got an open bottle and is drinking out of a glass while sitting at the airport with a couple of burly men holding her stuff. And I wrote down that Mrs. Barrett travels the way Phil would prefer to travel. Am I right?
Yes. Yes. Burly men carry things for me, and I get to drink freely of booze.
Though, yes, open bottle at the terminal.
Though not champagne.
No.
I in my notes I have down, and this she's played by Sylvia Sidney, but mm-hmm. Boy, she was giving off an Elaine Stritch vibe throughout uh-huh. this thing, here are the ladies who lunch, and it was something. I kind of liked your performance. I don't know how you guys felt. She was suitably annoying.
She was spot on for annoying Higgins. I'll give her that.
Mm-hmm.
After a while, she was a little too much for me. Like she was originally Mother Carlson on WKRP,
right.
and they replaced her because she was too much. They're like, we need someone who's a little more toned down.
Yeah, not quite as unlikable as this. But
yeah.
I mean, the idea there is that she drives Higgins crazy, and very quickly she drives the rest of us crazy, too. But I actually kind of enjoy the performance because I think this is exactly what it's supposed to be.
Oh, absolutely. It's the ransom of Red Chief, basically.
Oh, and I should mention that the macaw, again, Merlin the macaw, her prized bird, has been in quarantine. She sent him ahead. And so Higgins has already claimed the macaw from the quarantine, of course, leading to the moment where the car is towed away with the macaw still in it. It's fine, people. We never deal with it. Again, Higgins apparently got the car back, and it's fine. But he was very slow in running to after the tow truck. So
I think that was more of a moment that you throw in to have them get off on the wrong foot.
Yeah, I think so.
You're Higgins. Yes. You love propriety. You show up. There's this lady swilling booze and taking time off from her performance in company. And then you lose her parrot and she hates you now.
I was worried that Merlin the macaw was being kidnapped in that scene. But I realized they only kidnapped
so
the ugly dogs. The
yes.
ugly dogs.
Yes.
Kidnapped
if only
him.
They had gotten Michael Gazza to drive the tow truck.
Oh, no. Can you imagine?
I know there's a tattoo on that parrot somewhere. I'm going to find that damn number.
I'm on parole and I got a job as a tow truck driver. Take that, Jeeves, the butler.
Sure. So we didn't use computers to catch birds back in my day.
All I want you to do is grab the damn bird.
Merlin the macaw.
How hard is this?
Probably
want a cracker.
But the poor driver then, the cab driver, is carrying her heavy trunk, and she has him take it up the stairs at Robin's Nest and then bring it down and put it in the... it's a whole thing. And then she refers to Magnum's case with a Hungarian acrobat, which I marked that because, of course... It's a little
tell.
Tip. Yeah, yeah, that's right. That she knows about Magnum's various Hungarian interludes.
That's
I mean,
right.
We also literally saw the name of the episode and we saw the first scene. Something is going on here, even though we don't know exactly what, involving that guy who gave the little bag full of grenades to the Soviets.
But I do love that they always mention the Hungarian acrobats in the early seasons. And we never see that story. It's like the Sherlock Holmes stories that you've never seen, the Rat of Sumatra and all that.
Yeah,
that Watson just tosses out.
It's a legendary case of the Hungarian acrobat. Anyway, she's searching for the Hermit of Hawaii, Two-Fisted Tales of Dr. Tessa, who has done amazing research with birds, and she's writing a book about
she's
birds.
She's writing a bird book.
That's right. And she needs Magnum's help to try to track down this missing Hermit of Hawaii, because it will be a great chapter in her book. And Robin has allowed his beloved school marm to come and work on her book at Robin's Nest and do this research. And so she's going to convince Thomas, who is trying to get money in a plot that doesn't matter almost at all, money from some sort of real estate developer for a job that they aren't paying. So he's going to have Rick and TC do that and then take up her job that she's got finding Dr. Tessa, because Higgins begs her because she's so annoying. Please find this man so that she will talk to him and then leave us.
I would like to point out that the real estate agent is the king of condos, and you need to have more respect for royalty.
It's the condo king.
Yes.
And the annoying secretary that Magnum keeps talking to and describes in the narration rather frostily is played by Selleck's soon-to-be ex-wife. Soon-to-be at that point, ex-wife.
I read that actually ex-wife at this point.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the thing I read said married to him until sometime in 1982, and this episode's from 1983.
Well, it could have been held. I mean,
It could have been. Also, my understanding
it's late in the season.
Is that it's that they must have had a decent relationship afterward. He adopted her child from a previous marriage, and after their divorce, he continued to treat that child as his own and the whole thing. Wow. So they may have been on speaking terms or something. But yes, the agent, we never see the condo king, but we do see Ms. Roebuck, his agent, and that's yes. Jacqueline Selleck, as she's credited in this episode. But anyway, meanwhile, Mrs. Barrett is annoying Higgins. She takes him jogging. But he does demonstrate, for no particular reason that will not be relevant at any point later in this episode, the attack cry of the peregrine falcon, which is literally John Hillerman going, caw, caw,
leaning against a tree. And this is the rare deployment of Chekhov's peregrine falcon bird call.
It's true.
I do want to point out that the school marm does ask if he knows any bird calls. So it's not all like right. Higgins is having a break with reality and just like doing bird calls randomly, in hopes that she'll be scared off.
Or trying to get away from her, right? Like, whoa, what's that over there? Caw, caw, it's the peregrine falcon. Run.
It's an especially rare peregrine falcon.
Yes.
And having had so many listeners send us that clip in the last week, I really appreciated that moment where he does the call. She says, don't do that around Merlin. He might freak out.
Yeah.
And then immediately it cuts to her talking to Magnum going, well, you know, they might still be looking for the refugee. It's that's the whole plot right there.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I imagine people who just saw the clip that's circulating on Twitter where Higgins starts doing a bird call for no reason must think this show Magnum is just a descent into madness, where really it is a tightly constructed Rube Goldberg machine of machinations that come together at the proper moment.
See, I thought you were going to say it's a tightly woven plot and machine that delivers you into madness, but it isn't. It isn't a wild descent. It's very carefully constructed to lead you into the madness of that scene at the end.
That's right.
I want to mention a scene that I appreciate in this plot about the condo king that isn't that interesting, which is I like how Magnum, in one of these classic things that he does, is horse trading, looking for Dr. Tessa for Higgins, because he wants to get rid of Mrs. Barrett, for privileges at the estate. And he wants privileges for him and for Rick and TC for 3 weeks in order to horse trade to get them to do the other investigation, the Condo King thing. And that leads to a scene that I really enjoy. I really enjoy it, where Magnum offers them 1 week of privileges and they argue with him and they go back and forth and they whisper and they have a whole plan. And in the end, they feel like they've really gotten away with something, getting 3 weeks out of him. And Magnum nods knowingly because he went into the whole scene knowing exactly that that's what he was going to get out of him. And I enjoy that because it's got yeah. the interaction between those three guys. And it also, since we're in on the joke, it's very amusing that Magnum knows exactly how this is going to go. He knows how those guys operate, and he's come prepared with 3 weeks worth of privileges.
Yes, it is my second favorite scene in this episode, other than that scene. You know?
yeah, that one. Yeah, no, it's good. It's good. I like it.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but they don't do the thing that TV shows of this ilk normally do, where the background music does the get it, huh? Mm, yeah, funny. Where it yeah. just sort of it treats you, the audience member, that you are paying attention and yeah. know that Magnum is being a clever boots.
So, by the way, that plot line doesn't really go anywhere. Rick and TC go somewhere, and there's a bar, and they order a drink, and then somebody shoots a hole in the window of the windshield of the Ferrari because they're driving the Ferrari.
I think that goes somewhere. The Ferrari got shot, Jason.
Yes.
That is like the fifth cast member getting wounded horribly.
It's true.
And we do find out that it was Ms. Roebuck who did it.
It does, yes. in the end.
If you were watching an episode of Facts of Life and Tootie were shot, you would go, "Oh my God, Tootie shot!" Yeah. Well, that's me with the Ferrari.
Okay,
please.
All right.
She was also the character on wheels.
Exactly. Hence the
metaphor. I'll just point out that right. TC lovingly caresses the safety glass of the windshield at the end of that scene. It's true. All right. Anyway,
girl. Let's get back to the bird plot.
Magnum goes to the Honolulu Zoo. To talk to his contact there, who tells him that there's nothing so sad as a sick bird, but there is an old man up in the Haiku Valley who knows everything there is to know about birds. And that's a good lead, and it leads Magnum to what he tells her is all government property, despite the sign that says no trespassing keeps out. And that leads to a very amusing moment where Magnum steps right into a pit trap and plunges to the bottom, and then there's an angry old man who is very clearly the guy from the first scene with a gun saying, get out of here. And Magnum's like, all right, okay. And then that leads to what I think is also in the running for one of the better scenes in this episode. The man goes back to his birds and says, don't worry, my pets. I'll never leave you. I'll kill them all first.
Yes.
He doesn't do the laugh. He's just a...
Well, it is Dr. No.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to say, this is Joseph Wiseman, who was Dr. No.
Mm-hmm. And, specialized in playing doctors, apparently, mm-hmm. between Dr. No and Dr. Tessa.
And Dr. No, because his cover was on an island harvesting cormorant guano, Dr. No was also a birdman.
Birdman. The birdman of somewhere
my
else.
My headcanon is that he went off to become Dr. No and then went to Hawaii.
And then became Dr. Tessa.
Right?
I would like to back up to the zookeeper for a moment, if I may.
Oh, yes. Please do. Yes.
The zookeeper is played by Fritz Feld, and if that name means nothing to you, if you've ever seen a scene where a waiter does the little mouth pop, the that's Fritz Feld. Fritz Feld does that part in like... 300 movies.
His IMDb is 210 acting credits.
and 300 of them are as waiter or maitre d'. So I this actually made me angry that we get a Fritz Feld appearance and he does not just give us an obligatory mouth pop when Magnum is quizzing him about animals and birds.
Supposedly he does it after feeding the monkeys, according to Magnum Mania.
Really?
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, we're going to have to go back and watch.
Well, his heart wasn't in it, man.
Yeah.
Because I do not recall that, and clearly...
It didn't pop.
Yeah. Neither of you corrected me.
Maybe
neither,
they didn't fully
you guys
it in.
Didn't.
No, I didn't see it either.
I didn't know that that's who it was, because I don't know who he is, so now I do. Oh. I'll have to go back and look at that. I'll have to analyze this episode again.
Yeah, like the Zapruder film.
So what's happened
we gotta,
is...
We got to do a Fritz Feld old movie club.
Is that what we don't know is that Mrs. Barrett, obviously, is actually going to turn out, as we know from that clip that was on Twitter, to be the baddie in this episode. And what has happened is that Magnum has led her right to the bird doctor, the birdman of Budapest. But...
Hang on. First he visits, and when he leaves, even before the, you know, I'll kill them all, he has this whole narration where he goes, I wasn't sure if I was going to tell her or not, because I saw the look in his eye. There are two kinds of people: those who can't kill and those who can.
And he's
and
he's,
then he goes,
I'll kill them all.
I'll kill them all. Yeah, he's one of the people who can. So, and we know he's the guy who all that.
But and then, so he's gonna slough peddle it first. He's not gonna go right to her and say, "Oh, well, I found him."
No. But she looks and with her with the binoculars and says, "No, that's not him," which is hilarious because it totally is him. This is part of the trick. So Higgins begs Magnum to solve this, but she says, they go and she looks. She says that's not him, and then they return and Higgins has tied her bird with twine, which is very offensive. But it's okay. She's going to make the bird feel better. She's going to take him for a ride in the truck. And of course, what's actually happening here is she is going back to kill Dr. Tessa.
And of course, she says, he's not going to shoot a little white-haired old lady.
Yes, exactly right. And she's right. So then we get that moment while Magnum talks to Rick, who is playing one of those plastic electronic home Pac-Man games.
The Tomytronic. I always wanted one when I was a kid.
Probably the most realistic Pac-Man-like thing about it is it plays the song.
Yes.
Otherwise, it's yellow.
It's kind of or yellow and bulgy, I was going to say. So
It's shaped, right?
It's like you're inside of Pac-Man.
But it's probably like as much like Pac-Man as like electronic football was like actual football, right?
Sure.
It's a couple of blinking lights on a screen and stuff. And you're like, oh, if you imagine that it's Pac-Man, sure, you can imagine that it's not Pac-Man. But anyway, Magnum has one of those moments. It's like a little voice kind of moment, except there's no narration for that part, which is he realizes that because Rick offers to go to the Hungarian consulate. And he's like, of course, in this era, Hungary is in the Iron Curtain. It's an Eastern Bloc country because the revolution failed. And and he's like, well, if you don't want to go, because if they knew he was here, they'd probably go get him. And Magnum has that moment of like, oh, right. And goes and gets Robin's yearbook, basically, to find that Elizabeth, while there is an Elizabeth Barrett, she ain't her. Now, I do have a question here, which is, how did Robin coordinate with Mrs. Barrett? Did she call him pretending to be her? Did she assume her identity somewhere? Is Mrs. Barrett okay? Is she even alive? I have questions. This episode does not have answers.
Did she go through Robin or did she contact Higgins directly?
Right.
That's what I suspect.
Yeah.
Because that has to make sense. The other thing being, if Higgins is Robin Masters, she wouldn't know who this guy is. But he would know that she wasn't Mrs. Barrett.
Right, which is why Higgins is not Robin Masters, because that's a dumb, dumb thing that this show sometimes wants us to believe, and it's dumb. anyway, so this leads to our big climax here, which I think, okay, it's bananas, well, I know, but there are parts of it that I actually really enjoy. I enjoy that they're in the helicopter with TC, and Higgins starts telling a story, and they have to turn off his microphone, which is funny. But what is funnier is that when they turn it back on, he says, well, and then she was laying naked on the bed, and I figured, how do I get the secret plans? And they both look at each other like, oh, man, we really should not have turned off that story that Higgins was telling there, because it's pretty good.
They turn it back on right during the most salacious part of the story. Yes.
That story is my favorite part of the whole episode. You can have the horse trading. This is my favorite.
Oh, well.
It is pretty great. I mean, the fact that they turn him off and everybody else is like, you turn off Higgins, that'll show him. And then they turn it on. It's like, oh, regrets.
And then he comes back on and he's all, and that's why I couldn't walk straight through a week. And you're all, what happened?
Once he comes back on, each line is more salacious than the next, and it keeps growing.
Yep.
And you're like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's one of the best Higgins stories in the series.
It's very good. And then, of course, in order, because they're going to hear the helicopter, and if she hears the helicopter coming, she's going to just shoot the guy. So they have this idea, which is they're going to put Higgins and Magnum down. TC's going to put them down, and they're going to descend to this guy's place. And TC is going to come along the water like he's having mechanical problems, and that's what happens. The guy brings his shotgun out and he says, I just gotta fix this and all that, and he's delaying, giving them time to get there. And there's a little bit of tension there and they're having tea, and she pulls out a gun at a couple of points because she really wants to kill him, but she doesn't want any witnesses around and doesn't want to have to deal with that. And I at this point, I appreciate having a helicopter at your disposal when you're writing your stories. It adds a whole other dimension, which is kind of nice. I mean, everybody realized it in the 80s because there was Magnum and Airwolf and Riptide and all sorts of other shows.
And
that
Blue
had,
Thunder, sir. Blue Thunder Erasure.
Everybody had a helicopter. The A-Team had helicopters whenever they wanted them. Like, helicopters are very convenient for plots. So I appreciate that. And then eventually TC has to take off because he's sort of faked it for long enough and the guy's got a shotgun. But in that moment, she's gonna kill him, but Magnum is there, and there is a whole standoff, and we get the scene that
Hungarian standoff, as it were.
As it were. he's a KGB agent or a Hungarian. It doesn't really matter. And that leads to that moment where she decides to have Merlin, her macaw assassin, attack. The bird attacks Magnum. Higgins lets out Chekhov's Peregrine Falcon call,
which freaks him out.
He flies straight up, and then the shot of the episode, which is one of those shots, because you know the helicopter stuff, other than the shots of the helicopter, it's all on the ground, right? That's it's all on the ground, and they cut it artfully, and as you're a kid you don't know, but now as an adult you're like, yeah, it's on the ground. So there's a moment where it's Roger E. Mosley in the helicopter, and
some production assistant underneath him is throwing feathers,
is blowing some feathers out of a tray. And a few feathers float by, and Roger E. Mosley says, "Oops,
oops."
The greatest death line in the history of death lines, I think.
It is my favorite line reading of the word "oops," I think.
Yeah.
So Magnum-Mania.com, the Bible for Magnum PI, refers to this as one of the most outlandish, hilarious scenes to be found in the series. I don't disagree.
Buy it.
Yeah.
I buy it. And again, if you see the scene out of context, it looks crazier than it is. But it actually makes sense in the context of the episode.
It really does.
It's solid.
If I had watched this before I'd seen that circulating, I would have said, you know, this is a pretty interesting episode. And then there's that scene where there's a bird and a call. Because Magnum does silly things, right? This one, though, is so outlandish out of context, but in the context of the episode it's still weird, it's still wacky, but at least it makes a little more sense. But the floating feathers, and honestly the thing that does me in is the Peregrine Falcon call, because it's not even, it is literally like John Hillerman was like, what the hell do you want me to do with this?
I think there are three things that make that scene. One, the oops.
Oh,
two,
man.
The Peregrine Falcon call. And three, the fact that bird really messes up Magnum. That bird takes him down.
Yeah. He's got like Magnum blood all over him. Yeah.
Oh, man. Magnum,
don't worry,
Magnum
Dr. Tessa.
His rear end kicked by that.
Mm-hmm. I just love the line, "Don't worry, Dr. Tessa. Merlin's beak is plenty sharp." Well, we'll find out.
Yeah, well, Magnum finds out.
You have ugly talons, Merlin.
So it all's well that ends well, and Magnum gets his money from the condo king, or at least his agent, and he's going to complain, and Rick tells him to walk away. And it's as if, okay, did they write this episode and say, you know what, we need to bring everybody down from the amazing moment where an attack bird is chopped up by a helicopter?
Yes.
By writing a scene where Rick ends up getting splashed by some mud from a car.
The writer said, we will never top this moment again, so let us go in the opposite direction and go with the hackiest, corniest ending ever.
I feel like they put a button on the Condo King thing, but it's like, you guys, you really should have ended it a scene earlier, I think.
Yeah.
You know, not only does he get splashed with mud, he threatens, "I'm going to kill that broad," and then leaps into the Ferrari like it's the General Lee.
Yes.
It's bizarre.
It is a bizarre reaction from Rick. Really out of proportion to the offense caused.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not taking his own advice there either. I'm just saying that I think that the right ending, I'm going to pitch you guys an ending now. I think the right ending is that we cut back to the estate and Higgins is explaining that they've contacted the real Mrs. Barrett and she's fine. and she's very apologetic, and somebody, there was a break-in at her house, perhaps, and some of her things were taken, and it was, and she was wondering about it, and this is perhaps building the cover story of who she was and how to contact them. But then what Higgins reveals is that she also has a bird. Uh-oh! The end.
Yes. Oh, no.
I like it. Needs more guys covered in mud, quite frankly. But the other thing that I was thinking as a possible ending is they're back at the estate and a bird swoops in and they all freak the heck out.
Ah, that's good. Like a pigeon dive bombs to steal
God,
a French
a bird.
Fry.
Oh, and then they double over in laughter while it freeze frames. It writes itself, really.
Yeah.
Now, see, my idea would be to have them say, why, how do you know how to call a peregrine falcon? And what is involved? And Higgins says, well, it's very simple. You have to lower your the sound from your diaphragm and go, and then a peregrine falcon shows up and they're all like, oh, my God. And that's the freeze frame.
That's
pretty
and
good.
Pay it off again.
And he chases him, and they all wind up in a puddle of mud. I love it.
That's right.
Louis Vipperman, whoever you really are.
Take your no good talent to the Smurfs, sir. This back the eye.
Well, that's it, Birdman of Budapest. I hope we've really explained what's going on in that episode. Now that you've seen the 30 seconds of it, the best.
How you were wrong to make fun
of it
on Twitter.
Yeah. And maybe my favorite end credit in quite a while. On the end credits, it's listing everybody, and it mentions the driver. As a fan of Quick Draw McGraw and El Cabang, I appreciate that the taxi driver's name was Mel Cabang.
Yep, Mel Cabang. It's true. All right, that's it for this episode of Magnum Podcast, Birdman of Budapest. We'll be back next week. I don't think any episode, but certainly not next week's episode, will have anything to top this scene. But you know what? There is always hope for some other wacky thing to be found on Magnum PI. But until then, David J. Lohr and Philip Michaels. Bye, guys.
I'm going to kill that bird.
Fritz Feld mouth pop.